Good morning, everyone. Today's Daf Kuf Lamed Tes in Shabbos. We are at the top of the Amud. And I don't say that often, but we are. We're at the top of the Amud. We started yesterday the 20th parak of Shabbos. And the 20th parak of Shabbos deals with two issues. The first Mishnah dealt with two basic issues of Shabbos. One of them is the issue of Asiyas Ohel. You know, let me construct a tent on Shabbos. Asiyas Ohel is a talada, it's a subcategory of binyan, a bona, of a building, and so therefore you're not allowed to make an oval. Although, to be fair and honest, however, the Mishnah was talking in the context of a jug and putting a mishmeris, a strainer, on the top of the jug. So we're not really talking about something which is fixed to the ground. So to say that binyan bekarka, it's not really true. But nevertheless, so in other words, it is a type of bona. You are putting a roof over the top of something, and so therefore it's a subcategory of bona. Although, we'll see, we'll talk a little bit later on this morning that This may not be binyan midaraisa, it'll be binyan midarabanan, and we're going to throw around the terms later on this morning of uv d'chol, but okay. But in the meantime, however, let's just say it's simple, that you might see us all at the construction of a tent, so therefore you're not allowed to put a strainer on the top of a barrel. That's number one. Number two, and the other issue, is the actual act of straining. The actual act of straining may in fact be a malacha of merakid, of sifting, or as the Gemara discussed here today, maybe a subcategory of borer. Either way, you're straining on Shabbos. Straining on Shabbos is prohibited. So that is what we discussed in the Mishnah. To be a little more specific about the Mishnah finds itself back on Kuflam and Zayin and Beis. So the Mishnah had a machlokas between Rabbi Eliezer and the Chachamim. Now Rabbi Eliezer says that you can actually be tola the Mishmaris on Yantav. You can actually put it up on Yantav, and you can pour it on, you could strain it on, you could strain the wine on Shabbos itself. Now, putting it on Yantar for the first time, how does that work? So as we explained yesterday's daf, Rabbi Eliezer's position is consistent with Rabbi Eliezer of the previous parak, meaning in the 19th parak, Rabbi Eliezer allowed Machshire Mila. And the 20th parak, the same Rabbi Eliezer, same general Shita, is that Rabbi Eliezer was Matir Machshire Ochal Nefesh. So you're allowed to cook and do all types of food preparation, according to Rabbi Eliezer. You can put the mishmeres right on top as well, even though that's a CSO hell, but okay, that's fine. That would not be an issue. On Shabbos, however, there is, of course, no heter of ochal nefesh, so therefore, according to Rabbi Eliezer, you cannot put the oil on top. What about straining the wine? So Rabbi Eliezer said you're allowed to do on Shabbos. So why? So I didn't give a good explanation. I don't have a good explanation. I don't know why it is that you're allowed to. Rashi said back in the Mishnah, if you remember, I quoted the Rashi. Rashi writes, "Ein derech borer bekach." It's not borer. Okay, if it's not borer, I don't know what it is, but fine. That's the opinion of Rabbi Eliezer. Then there's the position of the Chachamim, which is the halacha, which is what we follow, which is that you're not allowed to put the strainer on the barrel, meaning neither on Yontov nor on Shabbos, okay, because it's a CSO, that you're not allowed to do. Obviously, the Chachamim disagree with the whole concept of machshirin, so therefore you're not allowed to put the strainer on. What about pouring through the strainer? So for that, so the difference between Yontov and Shabbos, on Yontov you're allowed to pour through the strainer because that's food preparation, and that you're allowed to do, but on Shabbos you're not allowed to pour through the strainer. That is the position of the Chachamim. And then the Gemara yesterday went on to discuss, according to the Chachamim, what if I did pour through the strainer? So that's it's a Chiyuv Chatas, it's an Issa D'Oraisa. Says the Gemara, why? So the Gemara brought in two positions, Merakid, Borer. We mentioned yesterday, I quoted Rashi yesterday, that everyone agrees it's certainly Merakid, it's just a question of whether or not it could also be called Borer. Okay. Well, I say all that by way of review.
Could it be it's not Borer because he's not taking the Psalus, he's taking out the...
I don't know.
Isn't Bola taking out the...
Psalus mitoch ochel.
Right. So he is the other way.
It's... Okay. Perhaps. Okay. Then the Gemara moved on yesterday, discussed other permutations of ohel. Remember, we talked yesterday about being Mosif on an ohel arai. We talked about hats yesterday, but the Gemara acknowledges that that's not really an ohel issue. That's a... we're afraid the hat's going to fall off issue. Okay, and then the Gemara took us through a little bit of Agadita yesterday, and then we're going to stay on Agadita, meaning it's there's really no Hemshech Hadvar between the Agadita we're starting off this morning, as opposed to the Agadita we did yesterday, but we're in the world of Agadita, and I'm guessing it's the same Baal Memra, although I should have fact-checked before opening up the daf today, but the first Amud of Gemara today, nearly the entire first Amud of Kuf Lamed Tes Amud Aleph, is a continuation of Agadita. Now here, we're going to darshan Pesukim Tanya. We start at the very top of Kuf Lamed Tes Amud Aleph, And we're a second line down. Tanya Rabbi Yosef ben Elisha Omer Im Raita Dor Shitzaras Rabbus Baras Alav. So you see a generation where they are going through a lot of tzaras. Say Ubadok B'Dayana Yisrael. So who do you check? You check the Dayanim. Check our judges. Our judges are probably, says the Gemara, corrupt. And that is the Mida Keneged Mida, so therefore Peronios before the Jewish people. Shekal Peronios Shabbat La'olam La'ba Ela B'shul Dayana Yisrael. The Gemara says, the Gemara makes a very strong statement that any tzaras that come to this world is only on account of Dayana Yisrael. Shenemar Shimon Azos Roshay Beis Yaakov U'Kitzine Beis Yisrael. The Pasuk in Micha, the Navi is giving Musa to the Jewish people. He says, listen carefully, Beis Yaakov and the leaders of the Jewish people, Hamit'avim Mishpat, who are perverting justice. Ve'eskola yishara ye'akshu, and they are ikesh, they are distorted. Bonet Sion bedamim, they build Sion with blood, Yerushalayim ba'avla, and they build Yerushalayim with sin. Rasha b'shochad yishpotu, we judge, but we take shochad in judging, that's bribery. Ve'kohanah b'mechir yaru, kohanim rule, but for a price. And unuvieha, because of Yiksamu. And the Nevi'im, so yeah, you'll get Nevuah, but you got to pay for the Nevuah. They don't, it's, the Nevuah doesn't come free. Va'al Hashem Yish'anu. And they rely on Hashem. Meaning that, despite all that, they seem very religious, and they throw out a couple of Baruch Hashems, and they, you know, they sound religious, but not at all. Now, Rishayin Hain, the Gemara says it very clearly. These people are Rishayim, Ela Shetol B'tchonam B'mishamar V'haya Olam. But then they say, oh, it's okay. So God will take care of us. Not a problem. Lefichach may vekash baruch alem gimel peranios keneged gimel aver shebiyadam. And corresponding to the gimel aver shebiyadam, HaKadosh Baruch Hu then goes on to give three different calamities. Shenemar lachein big lachem sion sadeh techaresh. Sion will be plowed over. V'yushalayim ayein tiyem. And Yerushalayim will be decimated. And the Har Habayis will be turned into a bama, a altar for idolatry. Labamos Yar. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu will not bring Yishchina back until we get rid of these bad judges. Shenemar v'ashiva yadi alayich v'etzroch kebor sigayich. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says is that I will put my hand over you and I will cleanse you of all your impurities. The asira kol bedilayach. And remove all your bedil. Now, bedil literally translates as a metal. I think specifically as tin. But as we'll see in just a moment, we're going to darshan. Vashiva shoftach kebroshana v'yotzach kevatchila. And I'm going to return to the judges like they originally were, i.e. good judges. And your advisors were going to be like they were originally. Okay, if you take a look at Rashi over here, Rashi helps us understand the drush a little bit better. Rashi says, where's the Rashi on bedil? No, it's not here. Okay, it's later on. Okay, I'm sorry. Okay, the Rashi is coming up later on. All right, we'll come back. Yeah, no, it's right here. I know, what is it doing over here? Should be earlier. Okay, anyway. Rashi over here says, Higayich, I'm sorry. So, Heim Gassi, oh, because it is going on the Gemara later on. Heim Gassi, Aruch, Shemagad, Lanatzman, Lashon, Yishke, Ma'od, V'acharkach, V'asir, Kol, Bidilayich, Elo, Osam, Hamavdilim, Son, Yisroel, Min, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Right, the word Bidilayich is a play on the word Mavdil, Havdala, meaning anyone who creates a separation between us and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to remove that. Remove all the barriers so that Ishkina can come back. Okay. Amar Ula in Yerushalayim Nifta Ela Bitzdaka. The redemption of Jerusalem, how's that going to come about? Says the Gemara, it's going to come about through Tzedakah. Shenamar, and Tzedakah over here, by the way, in the context of our Gemara, it doesn't sound like it means charity, right? Right? It sounds much more like it means justice, right? In the context of our Gemara, it seems very clear. Justice. Shenamar, Tzion b'mishpat tifta. And in fact, the pasuk the Gemara now quotes in Yishayahu sounds very clear. This is Chazon Yishayahu. So Tzion b'mishpat tifta v'shaveh b'tzedakah. That the Tzion will be redeemed with Mishpat and will return with Tzedek. So Tzedek over here, again, it's not talking about Tzedekah giving money, but Tzedek over here means justice. Right? I don't know where it came from, but when we say the third bracha of benching, so we conclude the third bracha of benching of Boneh Berachamav Yerushalayim Amen. Okay. So we add the word Berachamav. Now, where does that word come from? I really don't know. If you take a look at the Gemara in the seventh parak of Bracha, so the Gemara there doesn't have the word Berachamav. It's only Boneh Yerushalayim. In fact, if I ask my Sephardic brethren, probably you say Bona Yerushalayim. You also say Barachamav, huh? Huh? No, but you don't. Yeah, that's what I figured. Okay, so so I don't know where that word comes from, and I'm sure there's a good source for it. However, it seems pretty clear from our Gemara that when we're talking about the Binyan Yerushalayim, it's not Barachamim, meaning it's specifically with Tzedek and Mishpat. So it's interesting that, okay, I'm sure there's someone who discusses and explains where the word Barachamim comes from and how exactly that fit into benching. Amra Papi Batle Yaharai Batle Amgushe. If we can just get rid of Yahori, you see that word come up a lot in Gemara, arrogance. So if we can just get rid of arrogance, so Batle Amgushe. Now Amgushe, we seen that word earlier in the Masechta. If you remember, that word is in reference to a magician. In fact, the word Amgushe, if you actually say it out, you'll hear the word magician in that word Amgushe. But here in this context of our Gemara, it's not a magician. These are, you want to call them heretics? Okay. Anyway, Rashi says, Mesis Mediach. Right, if you want to take a look at Rashi. Yeah, heretics is a good word. So so if we can get rid of arrogance, we're going to get rid of heretics. And Ibale Dayane, Ibale Gezirfte. And if we can get rid of these judges, again, in the context of our Gemara, we're not talking about any judge. We're talking about the corrupt judges. And if we get rid of our corrupt judges, we'll get rid of our oppressors. Meaning the two of them go hand in hand. In Ibale Yarai Ibale Amgusha, the Gemara goes and delves a little bit deeper into each one of these. So if we get rid of arrogance, we're going to get rid of the heretics. Dichsiv Esrof Kibor Sigayich. Right, now we could say the Rashi. Right, Esrof Kibor Sigayich, that I'm going to clean you out of your Sigayich. Rashi points out that the word Sigayich, Sagi, means people who are, who aggrandize themselves. Take a look at Rashi. Hem gase haruach shemegalan atzman lashon yizge ma'od. And achar kach, and just reading on that Rashi, v'asira kol b'dilai chelo osama mavdilim son yisrael min HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So if we get rid of those people who are arrogant, so then there's not going to be any more people separating us from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, i.e. the Magushi, i.e. the heretics. E batle dayane batle gezirfte. And if we get rid of those corrupt judges, all the oppressors will go away as well. Dichsiv, Safanya today. Wow. Heisir Hashem mishpatecha pana oivecha. Kadosh Baruch Hu will remove the mishpat and will remove your enemies. And again, in our context, we're not talking about judges, we're talking about corrupt judges. Amar Rabbi Mil'ai Mishum Rabbi Lazar Rabbi Shimon Mai Dichsiv. What does the pasuk say? Shever Hashem mater rishaim. Shevet moshlim. Okay, probably mispronounced that pasuk like you can't even imagine. It is a pasuk in Zephaniah, so okay, I am not versed. Anyway, Shever Hashem Mater Rishayim Elu Hadayanim Shenasu Makel Chazaneim. The Gemara darshins that the Mater Rishayim, the staff of the wicked. Who's the staff of the wicked? Judges, meaning the judges are so corrupt that they're not really judging. All they're doing is basically are pawns in the hands that of the people who are bribing them. Okay. So the word chazan over here, by the way, not meant positively, meant very negatively. The chazan over here, we use, I know chazan, we're talking nowadays, the cantor. But in the time of the Gemara, the chazan was the person who was in charge. Right, some sort of custodian, some sort of person in charge. In the context of our Gemara, it's basically like some lawmaker. But In our context of our Gemara, meaning these judges are so corrupt, they're basically pawns in the hands of the politicians. Shevet Mushlam, and now the pasuk in Sefania went on. Elu Tamid Chachamim Shemishpachos Adayanim. Now the judges also had Tamid Chachamim as well as family members. So these corrupt judges, they said, "Oh, don't worry, we know what we're doing. We asked the Talmud Chacham." Now, it happens to have been that the Talmud Chacham that they asked was a brother, an uncle, a nephew. Okay, but in other words, the whole system was corrupt, even the Talmud Chachamim. Mar Zetramay le Talmud Chachamim Shemalamdim Halachot Sibur LaDayane Bor. Another pshat in the pasuk in Sefania, a reference to Talmud Chachamim, and who do they educate? Judges who are really not that smart and not that knowledgeable. And they give them a little bit of information, and you know what they say about a little bit of information. I'm Rabbi Lazar Bar Milay Mishum Rabbi Reish Lakish Ma'idich Siv Ki Kapechem Nigaolu B'dam. The etzba sam ba avon sifso sechem debru sheker and lishonchem avla tege. Again, more from, this is from Yeshayahu, the pasuk here again describing the corrupt judges, and we have phrases giving us a description, very graphic phrases. Their hands are with blood, their fingers are with sin, their lips are speaking lies, and their tongues are speaking deceit. And so the Gemara now goes through every step of the pasuk, kapechem nigaolu bedam elo dayanim. So the hands are filled with blood, so that's the judges. Corrupt judges, hands filled with blood, sure. Because what they're going to do now is they're going to kill people, under the umbrella of justice, and this is the legal system, so their hands are going to be filled with blood. Now what does it mean, the fingers? So those are the court stenographers, right? Those who are writing in the court, so their fingers are with Elvan, because they're writing with their fingers. Sifso sechem dibru sheker, ela orche hadayanim. Now I know Stuart walked into the room over here, and he warned me about today's daf. Yeah, correct. So the Gemara says, and these are the corrupt lawyers. So in other words, and back then they had lawyers, meaning basically not much different than today, but in other words, those who kind of helped the litigants with their case. Lashon chan avla tege, elu bale dinim. And these are the litigants themselves. So in other words, it was an entire corrupt system from the judges to the scribes, to the lawyers, all the way down to the litigants. Amar Rabbi Milai Mishum Rabbi Yitzchak Magdala Miyom Shepirish Yosef Me'achav. Now, again, other words of Agadata, nothing to do with nothing, but I'm sure people make connections. I shouldn't say that so flippantly. But in other words, but now it's same Baal Memra, right? This Rabbi Milai, who really does not come up frequently in the Gemara, I don't remember him coming elsewhere, but that doesn't mean anything. It just means I don't remember. So, Miyom Shapir Yosef Echav, when Yosef separated from his brothers, lo tam tam yayin. So he never drank wine. In other words, as part of the sorrow that he experienced of being separated from his brothers, so he didn't want to drink wine. I know sometimes wine buries your sorrows, but in other words, that's not the appropriate use of wine. The appropriate use of wine is for becoming happy and joyful and... Right, I know Purim's coming up, but the Tam Yayin saw the. But because he was so sad, so he never drank wine after he separated from his brothers. How do we know this? Ule kadkod nizir echav. When given the bracha from his father, so he says he describes Yosef as being a nazir, right? Someone who abstains from wine. So again, it's bederech drush, but bederech drush, the Gemara understands that through a reference to his abstention of wine. For the years that he was separated from his brothers. Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Chanina, Amav, Hein lo tam utam yayin. Now Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Chanina would like to take this one step further. Not only did Yosef not drink wine, neither did the brothers. Dechsev, Vayishtu, Vayishkaru, Imo. Because when they finally got together after years of separation, they drank and they became inebriated with one another. Mechlal, Da'ad ha'idna lo. Which gives an implication that the brothers never drank wine up until this point in time. Now, this.
How could they call Yosef a Nazir? Because really, he said Nazir is like a sin, and he says, oh, Yosef had tzaddik.
Right. Again, this is all derech drush, so I'm not sure. You know, it's a mashal. It's not a anyway. Now he went one step further than the original Baal Memra. The original Baal Memra, Rabbi Milai, says it was only Yosef who abstained from wine, and our second Amora, Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Chanina, says yeah, the brothers too. Now it sounds like from the Gemara that Rabbi Milai didn't agree that it was only Yosef who abstained from wines and not from the brothers. V'idach, so now the Gemara says, and why doesn't he think that the brothers also abstained? Shichrusu d'lohav ishtia mi'ahava. Because it says that the brothers got drunk when they were together with Yosef. Which means that they drank wine earlier, not to the point of ever getting drunk. It's only at that point in time when they got together, then and only then did they get drunk. Am Rabbi Malai b'scharu e'samach b'libo, zach l'choshen l'mishpat alibo. And then one other piece of Agadata drush from Rabbi Milai, and that is that when Moshe was told to Kadosh Baruch Hu, I'm not ready to go on my own, so Kadosh Baruch Hu says to Moshe, don't worry, you go to Mitzrayim and you're going to meet up with your brother Aaron, and he's going to be happy to see you. And of course, the kachaya, that's what happened. And the Gemara's point is that because Aaron was happy to see Moshe, and the way that the pasuk describes it is v'samach libo, his heart rejoiced, so he was zochet to the chosh mishpah. Chosh mishpah is placed right on the chest of the Kohen Gadol, so in zchus of him being happy, so he got the chosh mishpah. Okay, that's, of course, just a pasha pshat. Obviously, there's tremendous depth to our Gemara. We're going to go on. Shochle b'nei bashka l'levi. Okay, good. That ends our agadita for today. And now we go back to the Gemara and we deal with halacha. There's a community by the name of B'nai Bashkar. Okay, where is Bashkar? So maybe my Persian friends will tell me over here if they've heard of such a place. I don't know where it is, but I do know the following. And I know because the Gemara is going to say so in just a moment. It's outside of Eretz Yisrael. Okay. And they weren't that learned a community. Okay, those are the two points that I know for sure about B'nai Bashkar. After that, I'll let the historians and the academics tell me more. So, Shachle B'nai Bashkar Levi, so they sent the following question to Levi. Now, Levi's in Eretz Yisrael. He's a contemporary of Rabbi Yehuda Nasi and Rav and Shmuel. So they sent the following question to Levi. Kila Mahu, can we set up a canopy on Shabbos? Yes or no? Question number two. Kishusa B'karma Mahu, we want to grow our hop bushes. Okay, hops is used to what's making beer. Right, I was in St. Louis this past summer. I went to the brewery. I know everything about beer, which isn't true. The only thing I know is that we got to sample at the end of the tour. So the they showed us. Obviously, we didn't see the hops, but they showed us the wood chips that they used that they put in the beer for flavoring. That's the excitement that we got to see in St. Louis. So anyway, but the hops grow on a bush, and we want to know. This is question number two. Can I grow this in a vineyard? Now, what's the question? Meaning, well, the question is obviously a question of kalayim. But what's the issue? The issue is that you're not allowed to grow any type of vegetation in a vineyard. But if you want to plant a tree in a vineyard, you're allowed to do that. Okay? Who knew? So the Rashi points out. So he molen shigadal al hahege mal bekarma yeriku uklaim bekerem. In other words, if it's vegetable, so that would be prohibited because that you're not allowed to grow in a vineyard. O ilanhu ve'inuklaim bekerem. But if it's a tree, if it has the status of a tree, so that a tree you're allowed to plant in a vineyard. Good. So that was question number two. What's the status of the hops bush? Is it a tree or is it vegetation? It's a bush. So yeah, right, you can already see what it's, you know, it's a question of what category to put it under. And finally, the third question they asked Levi was Mace Beyantav Mahu. What if I have a person, Rahman Latslan, God forbid, who dies on Yantav? Can we do the burial on Yantav? Okay, three very straightforward questions. Ad azol nachna she de Levi. While the letter was in transit, and the letter was going to go to Levi, and Levi was going to give correspondence back, so unfortunately Levi died. So the answer never came back from Levi. So Amar Shmuel Rav Menashe Ichachima Shalchlu. So Shmuel now turns to Rav Menashe and he says, "Look, if you feel qualified, you answer the questions." Now, why didn't Shmuel himself answer the questions? I don't know. There's got to be something behind that. But anyway, Shalach Lehu. So Rav Menashe now in absentia of, I'm sorry, because of the deceased Levi. So now Rav Menashe is answering the questions. So Kila. So here we go. Three questions, three answers. Kila. Chazano called Tita. Kila v'lo matzano lo tzad heter. He can't set up a canopy. And in the letter, he actually writes, "Look, I looked for a heter. I couldn't find a heter. You're not allowed to set up a canopy on Shabbos." Good. Answer number one. Answer number two. Sorry, before I get to answer number two. V'lishlach lehu k'derami bar yecheskel. Let's go back to yesterday's daf. On yesterday's daf of Kuflam and Chesam and Aleph, we learned together that if the canopy already was set up, in other words, it was tied, the strings were tied to the canopy posts, and all I'm doing now is extending the canopy so that you're allowed to do. That's what's called Mosif al-Oel Arai, and you're allowed to be Mosif al-Oel Arai, as we learned in yesterday's daf. So why didn't Rav Menashe tell the members of B'nai Bashkar, you could tie it up before Shabbos and spread it out on Shabbos itself? Why not give them that answer?
By the way, that's why on Sukkot we can...
Right, correct. In other words, right, you're being most if, right? Lefisha Einan B'nai Torah. And the answer is because B'nai Bashkar are not B'nai Torah, they are not knowledgeable, they're not fluent in Hilchos, in Halachos, and you give them a heter like this, and they're going to run with it. So in other words, they're not going to understand the nuances of being Mosif Al, Oal Arai, versus building it Lechatchila, and so therefore, he was exceedingly stringent upon them because they were not B'nai Torah. Two. Huh? Yeah. Correct. Keshusa Bikarma Irvuvia. And in terms of question number two, can I plant the hops bush on the vineyard? So he said, no. It is Kalayim. Balishlachlu Kidrabi Tarfa. Now again, you know, you could have been Mako. Why? Because the Tanya, because we learned in a Brisa, this is the Tosefta of Kalayim. Kishas Rabbi Tarfon Amrin, Kalayim Bekerim, V'chachamim Amrin, Kalayim Bekerim. It happens to be a debate. It's a machlokas between Rabbi Tarfon and Chachamim, whether or not this kishas, this hops, is considered a bush. I'm sorry, is it considered vegetation, or is it considered a tree? V'chaimalan. Now, it's a machlokas between the Chacham and Rabbi Tarfon. Okay? Now, normally, under normal circumstances, who do we follow? Chachamim. However, we also know that if we adopt an agricultural halacha outside of Eretz Yisrael, and we have adopted the halachas of Arla outside of Eretz Yisrael, Kalayim outside of Eretz Yisrael, Chala outside of Eretz Yisrael. So there are some agricultural halachas which are extended outside of Eretz Yisrael, but even though they're extended outside of Eretz Yisrael, but because it's outside of Eretz Yisrael, we have more room to be mekel. And so therefore, if I have a machlokas between Tanayim, and there is a minority opinion where in Eretz Yisrael we wouldn't follow, but outside of Eretz Yisrael we could adopt that more lenient position. So, Rav Menashe, how come you didn't tell them that it's okay? Because we have the opinion, Rabbi Tarfon. And once again, Lefisha Einam B'nai Torah. Same answer. Because they're not B'nai Torah, and I can't, even though you're right, I could have been mako for them, but they're not sensitive enough, they don't know enough, and so therefore it's easier to just simply flatly say no. Machrez Rav Hai. Now, before we move on to the third question of bearing on Yontev, the Gemara just gives us a couple of stories, pronouncements of halacha. Machrez Rav Hai, man dabai lemizra kishusa bikarma lizara. So Rav Hai says, it's okay. You want to plant the hops bush in your vineyard? You may do so. Rav Amram Chasida mangid elavei. Rav Amram Chasida was opposed to it. In fact, he gave malchus to those who planted the hops bush in a vineyard, which is a very clear indication that he did not like it. Now, by the way, it's not an issur min haTorah, meaning mangid, to give malchus. We see that word a couple times in Shas. Could be that it's malchus mardus. It's malchus midrabanan. In other words, the rabbis have the ability to, you know, enforce. Rav Misharsha Yavle Pruta Latinok Nachri Vizarale. Rav Misharsha has a very strange middle position regarding planting hops in a vineyard. So what he would do is he would pay a non-Jewish child to plant hops in a vineyard. Very strange position. So the Gemara inquires about this. Vizarale. Valitin le the Tinok Yisrael. First of all, why are you hiring a non-Jewish kid to do so? Why not hire a Jewish kid? So the Gemara says, well, that's an educational issue. Because if he's planting the hops in the vineyard when he's young, he's going to do it when he's old as well. Valitin le gadol nachri. So the Gemara says, okay, well, why don't you hire a non-Jewish adult to plant? Asel lechlufa be Yisrael. Well, the Gemara says, well, because if I hire a non-Jew to do it, then I'm going to hire a Jew to do it. But in other words, as Rashi explains over here, because if you think about it, all this, of course, is very strange. Is it mutter or is it aser? I mean, honestly. I mean, that's really the question that you need to ask. Meaning, are we subscribing like Rabbi Tarfon or not subscribing like Rabbi Tarfon? So the way Rashi phrases it is that fundamentally he holds like Rabbi Tarfon, and fundamentally it's aser, but I'll read Rashi. It's the last Rashi in the Amud. Kol kama de efshar mishani shlo yilam de lahakel, meaning that, but still, he wanted to not go about it in the normal fashion. He wanted to deviate just a little bit. Okay, so people won't learn to be mako. So he hired a not Jewish child to plan for him. That's a shinui. It's so that he does it in a deviant fashion, so that it won't come to.
since the minor is also not a shliach for him?
Yeah, again, it's you start off with the fact that it's fundamentally mutter. Uh-huh. So in other words, you can't, let's put it this way. If I can't do something, I can't ask a non-Jew to do it. Right. And that's not, this is right, common misconception. That's not just limited to Shabbos. That applies to other halachas as well. I can't ask a non-Jew, or I can't ask a non-Jew to shave me with a razor. Meaning, if I can't do it, I can't ask a non-Jew to do it as well. So here, you have to start off with the fundamental premise that it's mutter. It's not usur. And it was chutz aretz, and it was following like Rabbi Tarfon, and it's mutter. But he just did it in an unusual fashion, so that people understood it's mutter, but only in this limited situation is a mutter. So that's why he got a non-Jewish child to do it for him, just simply so that it wouldn't go past this part, past this point. Okay. And now we move on to the third issue, and that is burial on Yom Tov. Okay, now, we've been talking about this for some time now, Masechta Shabbos. So someone dies on Shabbos, so you're not allowed to bury on Shabbos. Okay, we know. In fact, we also know, we've said this time and again, the mace is muksa. You're not allowed to pick up the mace. Okay, there are heterim, there are certain leniencies to allow you to pick up the mace, but you know you can't bury on Shabbos. Now, what about on Yom Tov? Okay, so let's see it in the Gemara. So, last two lines of the Amud. Kuf lam tesam adal. Mace, shachlu, mace lo yisasku bay, lo yehudain, velo arma'ain, lo biyom tov rishon, velo biyom tov sheni. So the B'nai Bashkar, so he said to them, no burial. No burial on Yom Tov Rishon, no burial on Yom Tov Sheni. So his answer was, again, a very flat no. And based on the first two questions, you already know where this conversation is going to go. There is room to be makel. I'm giving away the punchline. There is room to be makel, but again, B'nai Bashkar, they're not B'nai Torah. So he gave him a very flat, no, you cannot bury, period. Eni, the Gemara says, is this true? The Hamar Rav Yehuda Bar Shilas Amar Rav Asi Uvda Hava Bebe Knisha De Ma'on Be Yom Tov Asamach L'Shabbos. Now the Gemara says, but wait a second. We had an episode where somebody died in Shul of Ma'on on Yom Tov. Now it was Yom Tov, which happened to have been side by side with Shabbos. Now, as a point of fact, we're now on the top of the next Amud. Lo Yadani Milafneu Melacharei. Now, I don't know whether it was Yom Tov was on a Friday. I don't know if Yom Tov was on a Shabbos. But in other words, we're talking now about a 48-hour period. Friday or Sunday, thank you. It was on a Friday or on a Sunday. But in other words, it was a 48-hour period where, Rachman al-Tzlan, now somebody died and without a burial. And imagine, in other words, we live in the world of refrigeration. So for us, in other words, it's not, you can imagine. But without refrigeration, to have a mace just sit there for 48 hours and to lag and not have a burial, difficult. So, va'asu lekame de Rabbi Yochanan, and they went to Rabbi Yochanan, va'amar lehu yisasku be'amamin. And Rabbi Yochanan says, get a goy to bury, meaning we're not going to bury on Yom Tov, but also the idea of having a 48-hour period without burial, so ask a goy to bury. Va'amar Rava, and furthermore, Rava says, "Meis be Yom Tov Rishon Yisasku bo Amamin." That if you have a person who died on Yom Tov Rishon, so have a non-Jew bury. Be Yom Tov Sheni Yisasku bo Yisrael ve'afilu be Yom Tov Sheni Shara Shoshana. Now, if you're talking about Yom Tov Sheni, so then you do the burial yourself, and even on Yom Tov Sheni Rosh Hashanah, where we tend to be more machmir, right? Masha'enkin bebeitza, meaning that on the 2 day Rosh Hashanah, if I have an egg which is laid on the first day of Rosh Hashanah, it's muksa not only on day 1 of Rosh Hashanah, it's muksa on day 2 of Rosh Hashanah. Now on a Yom Tov, no. Or yes. Meaning on a Yom Tov, an egg which is laid on the first day of Yom Tov, which would be muksa on day 1, would not be muksa on day 2. The reason being is because Sfeika Diyama, we don't know which day is actual Yom Tov. So what we do nowadays is that we are noheg each day to be Yom Tov with the acknowledgement, with the recognition that it's not 2 days of Yom Tov, it's that day 1 is a suffix and day 2 is a suffix. If I put the two suffix together, what I result in is on day 2 the egg is going to be mutter because mimanav shach. Either the first day was Yom Tov, which means the second day is chol, or the first day was chol, the second day is yontif. Either way, the egg is going to be permissible. But that heter is only for yontif. That heter is not for Rosh Hashanah. The 2 days of Rosh Hashanah, to quote the Gemara in Beitza, is a yom ha'richta. It's one long day. And so therefore, we don't engage in that heter. And even though we don't engage in that heter in Rosh Hashanah, but for a burial, so the Gemara says you bury on the second day of Rosh Hashanah. So, coming back now to B'nai Bashkar, we're asking the question, can I bury on Yontif? And Rav Menashe's answer is no. And the Gemara wants to know, why did he say no? So, the Gemara's answer is, because there ain't a B'nai Torah. Because they're not B'nai Torah, and so therefore he gave him a very simple answer, simple people, simple answer, and so the answer is no. Okay, just for a moment, Tosus is right over here, so we get to discuss it just momentarily. So what's the halacha? Do we bury on Yontif Sheni? So, please don't be offended. The answer is no. If you take a look at Tosus over here, it's a very interesting Tosfos. Uve beitza maskinan basar hach milsa amar avina ha'idna di'ika chavre chayshinan perish v'lo yisasko ba Yisrael pen yitzavu aleinu chavre lasos malachas b'yamtav kevin shorin shaosin b'shvil meis. So first of all, Tosfos reminds us of the Gemara in Beitza, where the Gemara in Beitza says that there's a very serious concern, and that is the following. Chavre, by the way, used in that Gemara over there in Beitza is not a... doesn't mean chaverim. It's not talking about Shomri Torah. Chavre over there is talking about the non-Jewish officers. And the concern over there in the Gemara Beitza is the following. Let's say we bury on the second day of Yontif, as Rav allows us to do. So what's going to happen is that the Goyim are going to see us burying on the second day of Yontif. Oh, second day of Yontif, really? You bury. Okay. It means you work. You work on the second day of Yontif. So if others see us working on the second day of Yontif, not realizing that it's a special heter given out for burial, so they're going to have us work on the second day of Yontif, so that's a concern of the Gemara in Beitza regarding burying on the second day of Yontif. Okay, fine. So, wait, give me a moment. Umaisa haya v'holicho meis chutz l'tchum b'yontif v'halchu acharav b'susim l'esasek b'meis. And so now Tosus tells a story. Now this is a story of the 12th, 13th century in France, where they buried on Yontif. Now why did they bury on Yontif? Because our Gemara says, as the Gemara in Beitza says, you're allowed to bury on Yontif. Now specifically Yontif Sheni, not the first day of Yontif. First day of Yontif, you ask a guy to bury. But on the second day of Yontif, they buried. And Kaas Rabbeinu Tam, Af Al HaHochim Beregel Belososim. Now, Rabbeinu Tam got angry at everybody, meaning not just the people who were running on the horses, who were violating Yontif, but even the people that were walking. Rabbeinu Tam got angry at everybody. They had to walk outside of Tchum, which, by the way, Tchum is also on Yontif as well. Vishama Rebbe de Tamo. Now, why did Rabbeinu Tam get so angry? So, not so clear, but Tosfos points out, Vishama Rebbe de Tamo Mishum de Masik Ravina Ina de Ika Chavrei. So, first of all, because let's go back to the Gemara in Beitza. Meaning again, the non-Jews are going to see us working on Yontif, working. I mean, bearing on Yontif, but, oh, they're bearing on Yontif? Okay, Yontif Sheni must not be so important. And oh, by the way, Tosfos doesn't say this, but we'll also add that if we start bearing on Yontif Sheni, meaning how are we going to feel about Yontif Sheni? Meaning, it'll become lax in our own eyes as well. So Tosfos points out that they see us working on Yontif Sheni, so they're going to have us work as well. And then Rabbeinu Tam sends a letter to this community. Oh, this is really the highlight of today. And Rabbeinu Tam sends a letter to this community, and in the letter he writes the following. B'nei Bashkar ain't a B'nei Torah. He says, look, what did the Gemara say about B'nei Bashkar? They're not B'nei Torah. And if they're not B'nei Torah, B'nei Mil'on, now my pronunciation of that French town was terrible, I apologize. Mil'on. Okay, you said better than I can. B'nei Mil'on, B'nei Torah. Meaning, if B'nai Bashkar are not B'nai Torah, you think you people in Malone are B'nai Torah? Meaning, as much as the answer to B'nai Bashkar was no, don't bury, my answer to you is the same answer as well, no, don't bury. You're not any better B'nai Torah than they are in B'nai Bashkar. Okay, for those of you who know Rabbeinu Tam, I don't know him intimately, but he's a rough personality. He's a strong personality. And so you'll hear things like that coming out of Rabbeinu Tam. Anyway, what's the halacha? Our minhag is, by the way, we don't do burial on Yom Tov Sheni.
In Cleveland, they did.
They did it, right?
The Telzers did it.
Rav Moshe was asked a question, and Rav Moshe said no. Rav Moshe.
I see him. He was like a goyim.
Now it happens to be the halacha pesuk of the Gemara is that you could do it. The Shulchan Aruch says you could do it. Yeah. Right? So you saw it done in Cleveland. Right.
The first day we'd done
goyim. Huh?
When was the first day?
First day with goyim. So again, our minhag is no. But the halacha pesuka, the straightforward halacha is you can ask a goy to do it. Now there's a lot of discussion over here. I'm not going to get into it. We're going to go on. But there's a lot of discussion of maybe the heter is only when it's Yantav and Shabbos contiguous to one another, and you're going through that 48-hour period of not burial.
That was when, yeah.
Oh, okay.
It was Simchas Torah.
Uh-huh.
And what was very striking about it, only the people who were immediate
right, that's
to the cemetery, except everybody went to the Hesped.
Right.
It wasn't a Hesped, everybody went to the funeral.
It's interesting. Basically, Shulchan Aruch writes is that...
And they danced. Afterwards, they came back because it was still Simchas Torah.
Yeah, right.
But Shabbos was a 3-day
Yom Tov.
Yeah, right. Okay, right. So now you're talking 72 hours. I mean, it's okay. Amar of Avin Bar Avuna, Amar of Chama Bar Gurya, Misatef Adam Bekila Uve Chas Chaseha. V'yotzel Rishos B'Shabbos Ve'Einam Choshesh. Now I know a lot of time is spent on this parak regarding the canopy. I mean this parak. I mean it's only day two of this parak, but a lot of talk has been given to the canopy. The canopy doubles as a shawl. Okay. In other words, when you're done using the canopy, so what you do is you take it off the poles and wrap yourself up in it. It's a wrap, and you go outside on Shabbos and you wear it on Shabbos. Now all this is well and good, but remember the canopy has strings on it. So now the canopy itself is a malbush. That's it's something you wear. So that's fine. The Gemara says don't worry about the strings as well, meaning they're going to be strings kind of hanging along the side. That's fine, not a problem. So Maishna mid Rav Huna Dam Rav Huna Amar Rav Yosef Betal Shein Mitzias Es Keil Chesav Shabbos Chayiv Chatos. So the Gemara says, well, you know that if you're wearing a begadal kanafos, right, a four corner garment, and it doesn't have proper tzitzis on it. So let's say three of the four corners of this begad is strung up. Okay, so in other words, it's missing a corner of tzitzis. And you go out with such a begad on Shabbos, you're chayv a karban chatas, which means you carried. Now, by the way, what did you carry? Meaning, the begad's a begad. So, what you're carrying, right, you're carrying strings. Meaning, don't call them tzitzis. You only could call them tzitzis if all four corners are tied. But you only have three corners tied. So, that's not tzitzis. What is that? They're strings. So, and you're carrying those strings, and it's not a malbush, and it's not a mitzvah. So, and he couldn't say it any stronger. Chayiv chatas. It's an issur d'oraisa. So, the question is a pretty good question. Meaning, how can I walk out wearing the canopy as a wrap, and the strings are hanging on the ground? Those are strings. So why isn't that carrying? And meanwhile, when I go out with my tzitzis on Shabbos, and they don't have all four corners strung, so now the strings are just simply strings, and that's carrying. What's the difference? Answers the Gemara, tzitzis lagabe talas chashive, velo batle, hane lo chashive ubatle. The strings of the canopy are so unimportant. They are subordinate to the canopy. And so therefore that is considered, it's not considered an independent entity. The strings of tzitzis, however, it's a mitzvah. It's not subordinate to the begad. Very interesting. Strings are not subordinate to the begad, meaning that they are considered like I don't want to say independent entities, but basically entities unto themselves, whereby which, if you're not fulfilling the mitzvah, you're carrying. Your mom is carrying them. Amar Abba Bar Rav Huna Amar Ma Dama Mishpres B'Yantav. And we finish off today's daf with some halachas of harama, of a little bit of chicanery. Now, in halacha, in other words, in every legal system, there are loopholes. Okay? Now, you speak to your local accountants and you'll know some loopholes are totally, totally fine, and some loopholes are a little bit less than that. So, the Gemara tells us that in halacha, so there are some harama which is okay, which is acceptable. Now, the Gemara is going to say this, but I'll say it right now, because obviously it frames the whole discussion. If we're talking about Issa Daraisa, there's no such harama as allowed. And if we're talking about Issa Darabanan, so it kind of depends on what Issa Darabanan we're talking about, but under certain circumstances and certain types of Issuri Darabanan, not all Issa Darabanan is created equal, so you're allowed to do a little harama to navigate and circumnavigate around the Issuri Darabanan. The Gemara here is going to go through, I think it's three examples all told. Amar Rava Baravuna Marim Adam Al Mishras Biyamtov Litlos Barimonim V'tola Bashmarim. Now we learned in our Mishnah that you can't put the Mishmeres on top of the jug, on top of the barrel. It's what is it? It's a CSOL. Now Rashi over here says it's not really a CSOL. So if the Dechol, that was the conclusion of the Gemara yesterday. Anyway, it's an Issa D'Rabbanan. Uvda D'chol is a little bit better because it's a lighter, if I could say that. It's a lighter Issa D'Rabbanan. Anyway, what I'll do is the following. I'll put the mishmeres over the barrel, and then I'll put pomegranates on top of the mishmeres. So, I'm not putting it on for the purposes of straining. I'm putting it on so I can have a place to hold my pomegranates. V'tola bashmarim. And then afterwards, you want to then put dregs on it for wine. Afterwards, that you may do. I'm Rav Ashi Vuhu Talabarimonim. Now, Rav Ashi says, I'll only allow for this type of harama to work, but only if you actually put Rimonim on. Meaning you can't say, I'm going to put the Mishmeres on for Rimonim and then not put Rimonim. You actually got to put it on. Ma'ishna Mahad Detanya Matil and Shecher B'moed Letzorach HaMoed Shalol Letzorach HaMoed Aser Echa Shecher Tamar Ve'echa Shecher Sa'orim Alpha Pishesh Lam Yasha Marim V'shosem Mena Chadash An Chol HaMoed Mishna Moed Katan An Chol HaMoed. You can make beer on Chol HaMoed, but only for Chol HaMoed. You can make beer on Chol HaMoed for Yantif, but you can't make beer for after the moed, and you can't make beer if you already have beer. However, if you're going to say that, so what you can do, however, is that you can make a new batch of beer, even though you already have beer, and drink from the new beer. So the Gemara is, and basically what's bothering the Gemara, so meaning, as opposed to the case of the Rimonim, where the only way this haram is allowed, you have to actually use the Mishmar for the Rimonim. Here, I don't have to do anything demonstrative. Here, I could just simply make beer, even though I have in the reserve. Even though if I go down to my cellar, I'll have beer. But I can make new beer for Chol HaMoed. Hasam lo muchamilsa, hacha muchamilsa. So the Gemara says, look, when I'm making beer, it's evident that I'm making beer to drink beer. I don't have to do anything demonstrative to show that, hey, I'm making this beer for Chol HaMoed. As Masha Enkin, when it comes to the Mishmeres, the general purpose of laying the Mishmar over the barrel is to strain. So if I do it, I'm generally, it's the assumption is I'm doing it for straining. And if I want to use Arama, I actually have to put the Rimonim on top of the strainer. I'm the Rabban Rav Ashi Chazi Mar Haitzur Bar Rabban Rav Huna Bar Chazon Shmei. I'm sorry, Bar Chivan Shmei. Ve'amri Le Rav Huna Bar Rabbi Chilavan Shmei. Deshako Bra De Tuma, a second example of Arama, he took a head of garlic, Umanach Bebarza De Dana. And what he did is he plugged up the hole of the barrel. Plugging up a hole of a barrel in general is a no-no on Yantiv. Rashi says, "Mana bebarza dedana makam sheish bo neka bechavis va'yan yosei nos nashan b'shabbos l'stom ve'have kemisakein." It's like tikkun, meaning there's a hole. I'm plugging the hole. It's like tikkun. And what he did is he plugged it up with garlic. V'amar, it's nuye kamechavne. Now he said, "What was my intention? I just wanted a place to store my garlic, but that's all. No, I didn't really. I wasn't interested in plugging up the hole. I just need a place to put my garlic." The azol. I'm sorry. Let's do a kamechavne. All right. That is example number two of harama. Now again, I go back to the Rashi that I just quoted. Rashi over there says, right? I'm rereading the same Rashi. The have a kimisakin umaarim. In other words, it's not a real tikkun. You can't say that you really are fixing, because if you really are fixing, so that is makeh bepatish, and then we'd be talking about nisa daraisa. But it's just you're plugging up with a hole with a garlic head. It's not real makeh bepatish. It's an nisa derabanan, and under these circumstances, haram is allowed. The azil v'na'im bemavra, and the same Talmud Chacham did the following. Ferry who shuttles back and forth over the river. So he went and he sat down on the ferry. Now the ferry was docked. He sat down on the ferry and took a little nap Shabbos afternoon. The Avralach Yisa, and now the boat went to the other side. The Seer Perry. And what did he do while he was on the other side? He examined his field. Okay, now you're not allowed to do work on Shabbos, but you want to check things out on Shabbos? Okay. Don't strong. It must have been within Tchum. Must have been. Otherwise, he can't walk out of Tchum. So anyway, V'amar, and he said in his defense, Ana lemeinam kamechavna. Now, I wasn't really planning on getting ferried to the other side of the river. I just needed to take a nap, and so therefore, I lie down over here. So Amar le harama kamar tarama b'derabanani v'tzur b'merabanan lo asa lemeav lechatchila. So the Gemara says that, first of all, this is harama. It's harama nisuri derabanan. And the Gemara adds that this is also a Talmid Chacham who's engaging in such harama. And the Talmid Chacham knows that he will not lead him to doing these activities lechatchila. Right? Like, in other words, this fits in perfectly to what we discussed earlier this morning. Like, in other words, for the B'nai Bashkar who are not B'nai Torah. So in other words, to extend halacha to points where it gets subtle and it gets nuanced. So basically, you know what? Let's just say no. Right? Simple people, the answer is really simply no. But once you become a Ben Torah and you understand nuance and subtlety, so therefore halacha can be nuanced and subtle. And so the Gemara ends the whole discussion with this case of harama, meaning that for Tzurba Mirabana, for Tamid Chachamim, who want to engage in these types of harama, so the Gemara says it's okay. First of all, it's only Nisa Durabana, it's not Nisa Duraisa. And two, they understand the subtleties and the complexities of halacha, and so therefore they know how to navigate through those complexities. For the rest of us, however, sounds like for the Gemara, I'm not paskening, you understand. Okay, understood. But for the rest of us, however, who are not as well versed and as not as nuanced, so it's not does not seem like it is recommended by the Gemara. Okay, Ad Kan tomorrow we start with the new Mishnah. Continued for Shlema, for Binyamin, Zeva Kohen, Ben Sharon, Rivka, for Rafal Zaka Avram Ben Yakir Avigayo. Rabbi Chananya ben Akasha Maratzak Adesh Baruch Hu Zak Zofi Chachir Ben Torah Mitzvah Shenema Anay Chafetz Amatziko Yagdil Torah V'Yadir.